We have been sampling and testing some of our high throughput facilities, things like assembly yards, processing plants, and abattoirs. And yes, we definitely know that viruses like PD and PERS are present in the province. Fortunately, touch wood, they're not present in our barns. And that's a real good news story for the sector as a whole here in Manitoba, and especially for producers. And it's a result of a lot of effort by the entire value chain.
The Swinet Podcast Show Canada is only possible with the support and trust of innovative companies like
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. When it comes to 25-hydroxy-D3 products, purity matters. Hy-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy-D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Learn more at hy-d.info. Top Pigs Norsvin, the world's most innovative swine genetics company.
My name is Ruud Zijlstra, and I'm a pleasure to be at another issue of the Swine It Podcast Show Canada with some of the latest information on what's going on in the swine industry. But today I have with me Cam Dahl, who is the general manager of Manitoba Port, who will talk with us about the effectiveness of Manitoba's PED, porcine epidemic diarrhea eradication plan, and producers' biosecurity efforts. So welcome, Cam.
It's a real privilege to be with you. Thank you for the invitation.
So we'll go through a couple of questions. The first one would be, are swine viruses present in Manitoba, and how do you know?
Yes, we have been sampling and testing some of our high-throughput facilities, things like assembly yards, processing plants, and abattoirs. And yes, we definitely know that viruses like PD and PERS are present in the province. Fortunately, touch wood, they're not present in our barns. And that's a real good news story for the sector as a whole here in Manitoba, and especially for producers. And it's a result of a lot of effort by the entire value chain.
Could you talk a little bit more about how this testing is being done, like who is involved? And
Manitoba Pork samples the docks, for example, at the processors, or we take swabs at assembly yards, and then submit that to labs here for PCR analysis.
And then is that happening routinely or time?
We're doing that on a routine basis.
And how is that information that you gather then shared with the industry?
Well, that's something that we talk about, of course, with the owners of the facilities, as well as share some of that information with our vet communities as well as with producers. So, not necessarily talking about specific locations, because of course some of this is confidential as well, right? The general background information is something that's definitely part of our biosecurity and disease elimination plans.
And how long ago did this effort started of having this routine analysis for viruses?
Well, it's really something that comes out of the outbreak of PD that went, it started in 2021 and ran through the first part of 2023. So that was our last major outbreak. And that really was the impetus for the PD elimination plan that came out of the province.
So how does Manitoba's disease response differ from other jurisdictions?
I think something that sets the plan here apart is the level of collaboration from all parts of the value chain. So the development of the plan included our vets, it included transport companies, it included our integrated producers, and it included independent operators to really get around the table and develop a plan that was acceptable to everybody, and that all parts of the industry could buy into. And, you know, for it to be successful, sometimes there are players that actually are making short-term decisions that are not necessarily in their financial interest. You know, choosing not to ship pigs from an infected site, for example, because that is in the interest of controlling a disease. And, you know, that really is something that has set apart this effort, is that level of collaboration and that deep understanding that, you know, action across the province is the way to ensure that we can keep diseases under control. And in the long run, that is to the benefit of everybody in the sector.
So then with these initial conversations to allow for this collaboration to happen, obviously there might have been some discussions around how do we actually make this happen financially. Could you perhaps expand on that a little bit? How is this effort, concerted effort, sponsored?
Well, it's the burden that producers take on themselves. It's not something that there is government support for the implementation of the plan. So this is these are decisions that the individual producers and processors have made, and the cost of implementation is borne by the individual producers. But there is a recognition of the cost that's involved in not controlling a disease. That 2001 to 2023 outbreak, you know, we estimate that probably cost in the range of $100 million to the entire sector. And so keeping those diseases out of the barn is critically important. And it's not just PED. I just read recently an estimate of PERS in the United States that, you know, cost over $1.6 billion last year. So the cost of not taking action is enormous, and it far outweighs the cost of implementing the elimination plan.
So you talked a little bit about the entire cost of for the industry. So I presume that $100 million reflects just pork production in Manitoba.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's correct.
So how would producers know that from a production perspective that results in this loss of production? Is it piglets lost? Is it a reduced performance? Could you perhaps expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't have a breakdown on how that is split out between loss of performance and you know, the outright loss of animals, but it is all of that. You know, loss of processing ability, and so it encompasses. It encompasses the entire value chain.
Is there any kind of similar estimate that you would have for PERS? Because you just talked about PED, you mentioned PERS. So
I'm just looking at what I'm seeing coming out of the States, and I think it was the University of Iowa, I might be wrong on the location of that yeah, has recently come out and done an estimate of the cost of PERS. And again, that was in the range of $1.6 billion last year, Canadian, in Canadian funds. So that's an enormous impact. Fortunately, I can't give you an estimate of the impact of PERS in Manitoba, because again, we've kept it out of the barn. So that is the goal.
That's just massive when you look at such financial losses, of course, coinciding with losses in production.
Absolutely.
So we talked at the start a little bit about viruses present in Manitoba. You've indicated, yes, we can detect PED. What about detection of PERS? Like, how is that happening?
It's through the same sampling process. Again, looking at the high traffic facilities, whether that be the processing plants and abattoirs and assembly yards. So, yeah, that is part of that sampling and testing process.
Where do the samples then actually go? Is there a provincial lab that you work with?
That's the provincial lab.
That's just excellent support then by the government to allow this infrastructure to be in place.
It is, and you know, that's something that I do want to emphasize when you know, talking about impact of the elimination plan and how it was brought together is the collaboration with our Office of the Chief Veterinarian and the Chief Vet himself, as well as Manitoba Agriculture. You know, the government of Manitoba was a key partner around the table throughout the entire process.
Well, perhaps expand on that a little bit about this level of collaboration throughout the full value chain. What can you indicate about what level of collaboration is there?
It's very high, and that really is I think one of the key aspects of this process that we've gone through is really unifying the industry behind that goal of elimination of PD and of course prevention of other diseases. You know, there's a tendency when bad things are happening to look for, well, whose fault is it? When we brought together the PED working group during the last outbreak, in my mind, that's one of the most positive outcomes of this process is we didn't see that finger pointing. We didn't see the different parts of the sector going, well, it's your fault because you moved pigs. We saw the whole value chain come together and work towards solutions. And, you know, that builds on that acceptance of action that might not have that short term, you know, it might have a short term cost. Different parts of the value chain are willing to take on those costs because there is, they know that there is an agreement across the value chain on this goal towards elimination. So, that is one of the most positive outcomes of the process that we undertook.
So then who actually led this effort? Like excellent collaboration, but how did the collaboration come about?
It was led by Manitoba Pork. So we brought the various elements of the industry together into a working group, looked at some of the scientific research. That's where we started off is the science behind elimination. What is the best approach? We looked at various options. Living with the disease was one of the options that we looked at. And of course, it became very clear very quickly that was not the best financial option, and so that was really how the working group began was looking at the options of dealing with the disease, and it was through that scientific review that we really did land on elimination is by far the best option, and while there might be short term cost to that, it is in the long term best interest of the industry.
Nope, excellent. So that started soon after 2021 or during 2021?
It started during that the beginning of that outbreak, yes.
What are the next steps then in the efforts to eradicate PED in Manitoba?
Well, I think, this is a living, evolving process, so that's important. It's important to keep the value chain together and looking at what we need to do to keep this momentum. Fortunately, we had two cases this year, but it's only two cases, and they didn't spread. So that's something that's extremely, extremely positive. I think the next steps is to continue to get the message out there on to producers, to transporters, to processors, on the importance of biosecurity, and it just is going to take one misstep, and for the disease to come back into the barns. But I think this is really a good news story that we need to get back out to producers. People may be tired about hearing about biosecurity. I've heard the word biosecurity fatigue mentioned a few times. But the fact is it works, because of the very stringent biosecurity measures that everybody in the province is taking. We are keeping these diseases out of the barns, despite the fact that we know that they're present at our facilities around the province. So that is a message, too, that we need to get back out to producers, is what you're doing is working, and what you're doing has real financial impacts on your operations. We need to get that positive story out as well.
So how do you then control, that might be too strong a word, but how do you then communicate from an overall organization perspective with the producers, and any kind of good ideas for the producers themselves to talk with their staff about the importance of continued bias efforts to control biosecurity?
Absolutely. So we do that any way possible. Frankly, communication is just absolutely critically important. So we have direct to producer emails where we don't contact producers directly. Again, the PD working group is something that's ongoing and continuing to meet. We meet with our producer advisory groups. We meet one-on-one with producers at, for example, our district meetings that we hold in the fall. Any way that we can get out the message on the importance of biosecurity and the impact, and of course things like this podcast is another example of helping to get that message out.
Is there any kind of infrastructure that you then have in place to, I presume, trucks and pigs go across the border, the 49th, I mean?
Yes.
And trucks come back, people come back. How do you work that into your eradication efforts?
Well, it's, again, transport is critically important, and you're correct. We ship about 3.5 million pigs south of the border every year. So ensuring that transports, our trailers and trucks are disinfected and baked and washed when they come back is critically important. And again, it gets to that collaboration. It's not just producers, it's all parts of the value chain, including our transport companies. Some basic protocols, like if a trailer has just been to a dock in a processing plant, well, that trailer doesn't go directly back to a farrowing barn because there is a risk there. So, that involvement and engagement of our key transporters has been critically important, and their participation in strong biosecurity, again, critically important.
So then for the transport sector, other than these washing bays at strategic locations around the province or at the border, or how do you make that work?
Yes, there's a few of those washing stations across the province, and again, that protocol that everything is washed, disinfected, and hopefully baked when the trucks come back in from the U.S.
And then, how do the abattoirs within Manitoba fit within this?
Again, especially our federally inspected plants like High Life and Maple Leaf and Winkler Meats, key participants, and again, accepting that those protocols around disinfection of transport. High Life and Maple Leaf, of course, are integrated operators. So acceptance of the protocols when moving pigs between a farrowing operation and a finishing operation or nursery barn, acceptance of the protocols about not shipping pigs for a period of time when infections occur. They are High Life, Maple Leaf, Winkler Meats, Progressive Group. They are all very active and engaged participants in the process.
Now, sometimes when we have been at conferences, we also hear about feed and the importance of feedstuffs relative to such diseases. How does that build into this picture?
It is important, but I think some of the work that we did, especially at the beginning, really did narrow our focus back onto the biosecurity of people going into barns and pigs coming out of barns. That really is the key part in preventing the spread of the disease.
So then, obviously, a great effort, lots of success around PED. The lessons that you've learned, you think you could apply them to PRRS and PRRS eradication, perhaps? Or?
Absolutely. And not just PRRS, but it's also foreign animal diseases. These same very strong biosecurity measures that is keeping PED out of the barn will also keep PRRS out of the barn and would also keep African swine fever out of the barn. So yes, this is this process was initiated because of PED, but of course it applies to other diseases as well.
How do you then communicate as general manager with other jurisdictions, Ontario to your east, Saskatchewan on the west side of you? Are they applying some of the lessons that you've learned?
Well, that's something we do have those conversations, and it's not just the Canadian provinces that are interested in the success of this program. We also have a significant interest from the industry in the U.S. Yes, Manitoba Pork staff have even been to Europe to have these discussions as well. So, absolutely, we have the conversations about how do other jurisdictions apply the lessons that we've learned here in Manitoba?
Yep. Have you seen some uptake?
I would say there's significant interest. I don't think we've quite got the same level of uptake, but yes, there's absolutely some very significant interest again across Canada and the U.S. as well as in Europe.
So when you then communicate back to producers, you mentioned regional meetings, or how do producers communicate back to you? Like what do they think about these efforts?
Well, that's something, again, we have a process that includes our advisory council, our district advisor, so it feeds back up through that. Of course, it feeds back up through our board members. And then we also have regular conversations with producers as well on what they might be seeing on the farm.
No, but this altogether puts towards an excellent effort that has some extreme large paybacks to the industry.
Absolutely, it does.
Anything else relative to the history of PED that you would like to discuss?
I think the only thing just to emphasize, I think on my part is it's not just PED. We don't know what the next one is going to be. Right there, there are going to be other diseases that show up, getting back to producers, that message of the positive message of, what you're doing is working. It's not just this is what you should do. It's this is what you have done. And this is the value to your operation and the industry in Manitoba. It's important to get those positive messages back as well.
Yeah, and you can support that by highlighting the data that you collect, right?
Absolutely.
Final question that I have to all of my guests is, are there any favorite resources or a favorite resource that you use yourself, either for your job as GM or anything else?
Well, you know what? I use the Canadian Hog Journal, actually, is something of a resource that I use quite a lot. So if producers aren't accessing the Canadian Hog Journal, they should.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite journals myself as well, and always look forward to get it into the mail. Yeah. Well, Cam, thanks very much for this interesting conversation, and good luck with your continued efforts to eradicate PED in the province of Manitoba and hopefully beyond. Thank you.
Hopefully beyond. Thank you.
Thanks.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.